What does it mean to find your voice? The Gullah Geechee on Dufusky Island in South Carolina are grappling with this challenge. Descendants of West African tribes that populated a stretch of the American South during and after slavery, they faced threats to their cultural heritage and land from eager developers. A debate over incorporation has focused this community's resolve. As Patrick Johnson reports today, in asserting their right to self-determination, the Gullah Geechee want their culture and heritage to help shape the region's future as much as it enriched the past. It's Wednesday, November 5th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Israel's Holocaust Memorial recovered 5 million of the 6 million names of Jews killed in the Nazi genocide, it announced Monday. The milestone marks decades of research and information gathered from archives and testimonies, some with the help of the latest technology. Artificial intelligence and machine learning have the potential to unlock the names of some of the 1 million or so victims who are not yet identified, an ever more urgent task, Yad Vashem officials say, as the number of remaining Holocaust survivors dwindles. Dick Cheney, the hard-charging conservative who became one of the most powerful and polarizing vice presidents in U.S. history, died on Monday night, his family said in a statement. The quietly forceful Mr. Cheney led the armed forces as defense secretary during the Gulf War under President George H.W. Bush, before returning to public life as vice president under President George W. Bush. Dick Cheney was a great and good man who taught his children and grandchildren to love our country, his family's statement said. Also, Alaska residents worked together to save cultural artifacts scattered by remnants of Typhoon Halong. Dozens of locals in the fishing village of Quinhok have collected at least 1,000 youth-picked artifacts since the storm swept thousands of items away from a nearby archaeological site. The items include wooden masks, dolls, and jewelry. We have to do this for the future generation, one resident told the New York Times. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news, including U.S. election results, with analysis from staff writer Cameron Joseph overnight. Independent journalism is under grave threat in the Sahel region of Africa. In Mali, one community radio station shows the lengths to which local reporters go in order to keep their communities informed. Contributor Adrian Marote reports from Dakar, Senegal, for The Monitor. Before Russia brought war into the lives of Ukrainians, the Defending Ukraine course featured marching and sometimes carrying wooden guns. The new reality-based curriculum includes hands-on work with first aid, radios, and drones. Scott Peterson reports from Bucha, Ukraine, for The Monitor. Dozens of states have passed laws directing a science of reading approach to helping struggling students. But who is teaching the teachers how to make that happen? Jackie Valley reports for The Monitor. Debating forms of government on a remote island is not just about local self-rule. It's also about managing gentrification and respecting local input in a place where culture and history matter. Patrick Johnson reports from Dufusky Island, South Carolina, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on Trump's peace tactics in Sudan. In his self-portrayal as a global peacemaker, President Donald Trump prefers to employ arm-twisting pressure to stop a conflict, such as in Gaza. Yet, for one of the most intractable wars, a civil conflict in Africa's third-largest country, Sudan, he might be relying on principled persuasion. The reason? Mass atrocities against civilians on both sides of that 18-month-long war have pushed many nations with a strategic stake in Sudan to join a Trump-led effort for a humanitarian truce. On Monday, the U.S. Senior Advisor for Arab and African Affairs, Massad Boulos, said Sudan's rival military forces have agreed in principle to a three-month truce, which would allow safe corridors for delivery of vital aid. If a pause in fighting does help the millions of Sudanese in need, it would be a nod to a global norm that recognizes the innocence of civilians in battle zones. And here's the overlooked benefit. If the two armies driving the conflict can agree to allow access for aid, the initial goodwill can be a toehold of trust for more difficult talks on a political peace. Sudan's tragedy is not inevitable, wrote Madani El-Shibli, executive director of the Cognizant Center for Strategic Studies in the Sudan Tribune. If a truce is well enforced, monitored, and financed, he added, it can turn the battlefield into a bridge toward peace. A due respect for the protection of civilians is not the only force at work. Many Sudanese participated in a 2019 pro-democracy uprising that felled the dictator. After the military ended that dream and then split into two warring factions, civilian activists have kept alive a popular desire for a sustainable democratic transformation. But first, Sudan needs a softening of hearts after frequent massacres of civilians. The latest massacre, which occurred in late October in El Fasher, the capital of North Darfur, was even denounced by the leader of the rapid support forces that were accused of the atrocity. Mohamed Hamdan Hamedi Dagalo promised that any soldier who committed a crime would be held accountable. He also told his troops, "Do not harm civilians. Do not attack their property, their land, or their honor." If he means it, the United States-led peace plan has a future. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how beginning with spiritual reality brings momentum to our prayers for the world. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor, copyright 2025.